Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely blessed day today. We're staying busy as always down here at Health Masters. And again, we thank you for the continued support. Thank you for all the emails we get on a regular basis. I've been trying to catch back up on them. I get so many of them and I try to respond to everybody as best I can. So again, we appreciate the support. And also, first off, before we get into anything else, I want to give everybody a heads up as far as food prices, all this stuff that's been going on the Midwest. I just got an article here this morning that's discussing the fact that a massive size and intensity of a snowstorm of unheard of levels is headed for the Midwest in October now. They're basically saying that this is going to be one of the largest blizzards ever to hit the Dakotas and Minnesota and that whole Midwest area. Now, the issue that's going on right now is the USDA just reported is that only 22% of the corn in North Dakota is considered to be at a mature point, as it normally would be at a 75% level. They say South Dakota corn is only rated at a 36% mature level, where it's normally at an 80%, and Minnesota is just at a 39% level, where it's normally at an 83% at this point in time. And the issue you got to look at this that's going on is that if you guys remember, back on May 28th, the USDA came in and they reported that only 58% of the corn that could be planted into the ground in the Midwest was actually in the ground due to the massive flooding. Soybeans, it was only at 29%. The reason why I'm bringing this up, not only A, to make sure all of our listeners in the Midwest or you have family out there get prepared for this massive storm that's coming in, but also B, to understand what's going on. That this is very likely some type of food warfare on the aspect of what's been happening. The coincidental aspects of what we saw at the beginning of this year with the flooding and the massive loss of crops, and then now this early blizzard coming in that's, at an untold level, this is more than likely going to have some very serious effects on food prices, on meat prices, on everything. You got to remember, a lot of these cattle and pigs and all this stuff, they eat corn, they eat soybeans. So these food prices are going to go up. So the biggest thing I recommend to everybody right now is make sure you're allotting part of your budget to stay on top of your food supply. Make sure you have some food buckets if you need some. We always have some here at Health Masters on the website. You can either stock up canned food, whatever you want to do. Make sure you have some backup food, because this is very strange to be happening right now in October, and doing the best you can to stay healthy and fit in the event of any type of national emergency, so to speak. So I just want to kind of get that out of there first thing, Dad. And other than that, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm blessed. I mean, this is a great day. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here. I mean, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice. I'll be glad. And regardless of the storm coming into the Midwest, it doesn't make any difference. Every square mile of land in the United States is managed for weather and controlled. They know exactly what they're doing. The CIA runs it. The CIA runs the White House. The CIA runs the country. The CIA runs the world. And they only answer to the doggone black magicians. That's who runs it all. We've talked about this hundreds of times. I'm not going to go into that right now. But, you know, it's just one of those deals that we need to realize that, you know, it's all being done as a form of global enslavement. And, you know, G. Edward Griffin, a few years ago, he talked about the global warming. He talked about the chemtrails. He talked about the HAARP. He talked about the managing of the ecosystem. And he said it's all being done to control food prices. See, they've already got you on drugs. Insulin prices have gone through the roof. A lot of people are so destitute now because of insulin that they're having to buy, that they're basically not knowing what to do anymore. They do this with everything. They raise the prices on this. They raise the prices on this. They raise the prices on this. They find inelastic demand curves. They raise the prices on this. And it's just what they want to do. They want you to be completely controlled by the medical industrial complex, the pharmakia, which talks about in the book of Revelation. And they also want to control the food prices and control the amount of food that's being distributed to the local people and how much it's going to cost. I mean, we're like you talked about it the other day, Austin. It's just going back to the Hunger Games. And they want to make the United States as destitute as they possibly can, to create as much chaos as they possibly can, to create a new world order. all of this is being controlled by the international banks that control the Republicans and the Democrats. Trump's finally coming out now and saying how bad Fox News is, how bad, you know, Napoliano, we all know he's gay anyhow. Judge Napoliano's gay. By the way, if you didn't know that, look it up. You'll find that one out for yourself. Judge Napoliano. Now, get me wrong. I like a lot of stuff Napoliano says. But, you know, Trump says that when he wasn't put in the Supreme Court nomination selection pick, that he got all mad and started hammering Trump. I don't know. Don't care. But all I know is this. The White House sent a letter the other day, and I've got it posted on the website, to the Honorable Nancy Pelosi, who's not honorable, the Honorable Elliot Engel, who's not honorable, the Honorable Adam B. Schiff, who's not honorable, and the Honorable Elijah E. Cummings, who's not honorable. Then it says, "Dear Madam Speaker and Chairman, I write on behalf of President Donald Trump in response to your numerous legally unsupported demands made as part of what you have labeled contrary to the Constitution of the United States and an all bipartisan precedent as an impeachment inquiry. As you know, you have designed and implemented your inquiry in a manner that violates fundamental fairness and constitutionally mandated due process." Now, I've posted this. This is an 8-page letter, so I'm not going to read it. And it basically goes into what they're saying about how Donald Trump's not – it's just – the whole thing's a show. I told you this was an impeachment sideshow weeks ago. You know, this letter that was sent out has been pretty much scrubbed off the internet. I was able to find a copy of it. I posted it on our website. You might want to go ahead and pull it up and print it so you have a copy of it in case they pull the links down. But this is who they are. So I just did a little bit. I want to do a little bit of research this morning and find out who these people are, who this letter is addressed to, who's doing all of this. So let's look. First one's Elliot Engel. I'm reading you from Wikipedia, so don't fuss at me. Don't you fuss at me. Elliot Lance Engel, U.S. Representative for New York 16th District, member of the Democratic Party. His district contains parts of the Bronx and Westchester County. He has served in the House since 1989, 30 years, and has previously represented the 19th District from 1989. Well, it didn't matter. Let's give you some background on McCoy. Early life, education, and teaching. Engel was born in Bronx, the son of Sylvia and Philip Engel, an iron worker. His parents were Jewish Ukrainians, were immigrants from the Russian Empire. Oh, so his parents were part of the people that helped to overthrow Russia and bring in the communist revolution in the Ukraine and throughout Eastern Europe. That's just interesting. All right, well, let's just quit. Let's look at Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, born 1960, is an American political candidate of the U.S. Representative for California's 28th District. As a member of the Democratic Party, he served in Congress since 2001. Let's see where he came from. Schiff was born in Framingham, Massachusetts, the son of Edward and Cheryl Ann Schiff. He was raised in a Jewish family and moved to Danville, California during high school. He graduated from Monta Vista High School. He received a political science degree from Stanford University and a JD degree from Harvard Law. Okay, so he went to Harvard. All right, now, here's what they're not telling you, Wikipedia. Adam Schiff is a dual Israeli citizen. Oh, you won't hear this anywhere else, guys. Elliot Engel, dual Israeli citizen. Israel is controlled by the Rothschild banking empire that financed the Russian Revolution, that pushed communism into the Russias and into Eastern Europe. All right, so this is the first two. So we have people that are dual Israeli citizens coming against Donald Trump with this bogus impeachment request. And now we have Elijah Cummings, American politician and member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Maryland's 7th District. The district includes just over half of Baltimore City, most of the majority black precincts of Baltimore County. Now, what's interesting about this, they're not giving any background as far as him, as far as what his background is, what his beliefs are, what his religion is, or anything else. So I'm not going to even go into that. He basically is a hardcore communist, Marxist, has been linked to multiple Marxist organizations, and has been pretty much a bad guy in Washington. In fact, D.C. Dirty Laundry says, does anyone know anything about Elliot Cummings' background? Maybe you should, since it's a very dark background, does not align with the basics of our Constitution as it is written. Remember, this guy is a hardcore communist, has been affiliated with hardcore communists, and this is who he is. Now, let's take a look at him. It seems like Cummings was given his position, but look at what he belongs to and what that will define who he really is. right off the bat, we see that he's a member of the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Just these two groups to which he belongs or belonged to should raise serious questions about his allegiance to the Constitution. Just what are both these groups? Now, if you look at the Congressional Black Caucus, it's an organization of black congressional representatives, officially nonpartisan. And then you go on to the Congressional Progressive Caucus, was founded in 1991 by Bernie Sanders, who's a communist, who's recently been elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. Okay, and it talks about how almost every many of the founding members were devout communists. This is just the Campaign for America's Future, was founded in 1996 by 130 prominent progressives. And it says that basically at least 31 of the 130 who'd helped establish the CAF were confirmed members of the Democratic Socialists of America, or two of its predecessors, the Democratic Socialist Organization Committee, or the New America Movement. All communist organizations absolutely set on destroying the United States of America. Now, and then we have Nancy Pelosi. Let's not forget Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is from a hardcore crime family. You think, now, what do you mean that? Well, her dad was basically a mob guy, and he worked with mob people. In fact, John F. Kennedy was very, very concerned that he was going to be, that basically he was directly tied to the mob. You think, well, what the heck? I mean, really? Yeah, this is Nancy Pelosi. So we have a mobster, a dual Israeli citizen, another dual Israeli citizen who are both communists. Nancy Pelosi, who's a communist, and basically four communists, with two of them having different citizenships of different countries, coming after Donald Trump. And you think, this can't even be real. It's a kangaroo court. The current situation in Washington is the language of poker. It's a bluff. They're Democrats are bluff. They have nothing. They don't have anything. I told you this weeks ago. It is all known that impeachment is simply a vote of no confidence. And it takes a confirmation from the Senate, from the Congress, and then a trial in the Senate. I mean, a full-blown trial. You get to go and see people who basically, you get to see your witnesses and everything else. Now, why is it that Democrats are violating this constitutional mandate on how to do this? Well, it's very simple. They don't want to do a vote in the House. Now, why do they not want to do this? Because it's basically political suicide, and they know that. I mean, who in the world is going to impeach a president, Austin, that has the lowest unemployment rate in America right now, like years? Okay, Trump knows this very well. Democrats are forced to roll this bluff impeachment process, despite Trump not violating any laws, because it's what they're trying to do is get him to capitulate and do what they're asking him to do and step down. I mean, the whole thing is just so stupid. This entire thing is unequivocal. I mean, the Democrat wants Trump's impeachment, but only in a virtual form, only on a TV screen, since they're guaranteed to lose a rigorous legal or political trial. And they know if they vote in the House, that pretty much every person who votes against Trump will be thrown out of office, because they know that they're crashing the doggone economy and they're crashing the banking system right now, and they're doing it on purpose. I told you guys this over a month ago. I said, look, here's the circus sideshow that we're going to see that's being controlled on both sides by the Rothschild banking cartel. They know the economy is going to crash. They know the equities market is going to crash. They know the housing market is going to crash. We're going to have a crash bigger than 2007. They know if Donald Trump is being blamed for this, that he will not be reelected in 2020. They want him reelected. So now they're going to use this weirdo group of communists and liberals who basically are writing these letters to blame them for the crash of the economy, the crash of the markets, the crash of everything else. And then Trump could say, you guys caused this, you did this, I had the economy going great, I had everything going great, and guess what you guys did? And it's a circus sideshow. That's all it is. It's all being controlled and orchestrated through the Rothschild banking cartel on both sides. That's why we need to understand who's running the country and why do they have such an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. You know, this morning I pulled up an article, and it said that – this is from the Daily Mail. And it said there's a Jewish guy out of Brooklyn. His name's Daniel Greenberg. And, you know, and he has apparently an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ. And now he's put out a pair of tennis shoes that are basically $3,000 – and he bought them directly from Nike. And listen to what he did. This is the craziest thing. You know, guys, you think I make this stuff up? I can't make any of this stuff up. It's too weird. Jesus shoes, sneakers are worth over $95,000 now. RS, this is sold out. They're filled with holy water. This is how sacrilegious this guy is. He takes a pair of tennis shoes. He puts holy water in them. He puts a bread drop to recognize the drop of blood of Christ. He basically uses a cross on the doggone shoelaces, and then he basically says, you know, these are Jesus shoes, and he has them coated with frankincense on the insoles, a crucifix threaded through the laces, and a red sole with references to the red shoes traditionally worn by past popes. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, the Jesus shoes even come with instructions on how to destroy the shoes. I mean, and they're blessed with holy water. And you think, why would he do this? Why? Because it's a mockery, guys. And the irony of the thing is the people are so gullible, they sold out within minutes. I mean, he only made like a dozen pair or whatever. They sold out in minutes for thousands of dollars a pair. He's using this as a mockery to basically insult our Lord, to insult Jesus Christ, to basically come out and say, hey, you know, this is such a joke, watch this. And he didn't realize, I don't think, that he was going to get this type of national, international exposure on this. So now he's like, oops, I kind of stuck my foot into this one as a parody, so to speak. And see, this is the thing that's so weird about all this stuff. When you have a group of people who have an atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ to the point they're willing to mock him with crucifixes dipped in urine, with crucifixes on shoes, with drops of blood symbolizing the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the shoe, and they're willing to do all of this, and they don't think they're getting any blowback from it from the Christians. And you know what? They're right. This will probably be the only show you hear talk about this today. I find this in a complete and total abomination. This Greenberg or whatever his name was, I mean, he's just another one of these weirdos who basically think they can say whatever they want to say and not have any blowback from it. Guys, this isn't okay. We can't have dual citizens trying to preach our president, mafiosa Don's prima donna daughters, Pelosi, trying to impeach the president, and members of the Communist Party and supporters of the Communist Party trying to impeach the president. And of course, we need to have the president just to calm down and not send out so many unbelievably, how should I say this, ridiculous tweets. I went into detail this week or last week. I'm not going to do this again. I mean, he doesn't need to be doing this. He just needs to calm down. And he's basically a chaos agent. I mean, he's creating so much chaos and so much instability right now with what he's doing. He just should have come on, done a press conference and read this letter that I read you part of a second ago and said, this is completely unconstitutional. We're not going to play this game. If they want to try to do this, let them do it. Let them do it right. And explain to the people what's going on. But, you know, we get these crazy tweets coming out of the White House. It's like I said the other day. If he really wants to build nationalism at his rallies, sing the Star Spangled Banner, sing America the Beautiful, sing the songs that made America great, and have Donald Trump come out in a microphone and sing along with the crowd and build this country back, this isn't working. But he will be reelected. I'm telling you that. He will be reelected. Hillary will probably run, and it'll be another one of those giant circus clown acts for the next year and a half. We're all going to have to deal with all this mess again. Well, actually, for the next 2 years. And it's going to be just another big just yuckweed again. That's all it's going to be, just another year and a half. It's going to be another big yuckweed that we all have to put up with this nonsense. And, guys, it's so frustrating to me. You know, we've got huge Arctic methane releases right now. They're bubbling up out of the Arctic. I mean, bubbling up. And you're like, what the heck? And this methane is massively increasing the amount of greenhouse gases that we have. I mean, it's nuts what's going on. And the sad part about it is that no one's talking about the greenhouse gases. No one's talking about all of the stuff that's happening right now, or the chemtrails, or the 5G, or the infant child immunizations that are being given human DNA, full-fledged DNA into these vaccines, or the massive increase in autism, the massive increase, you know, in all of these horrible diseases that we're having in this country, and the massive increase in the heart disease and diabetes and cancer, the runaway prices on the healthcare products. I mean, nobody's talking about any of this stuff. We're talking about the circus show clown act of Donald Trump not even going through a formal impeachment proceeding, and having Nancy Pelosi decide she's going to usurp the entire Constitution and pull a stunt like this. So this is the Washington, D.C. circus clown act being orchestrated and brought to you today by the progressive parties of America, by the communists, by the Rothschild banking cartel. I hope you enjoy the show. Austin, what do you think?
There's no doubt about it. This is really, really well said. And I mean, and this is the stuff that we're starting to see all across the country, like you saw, you're talking about with those shoes. I mean, that's an embarrassment. And I mean, the fact that this is going on out there and people are actually buying them. And here's the irony. Here's the flip coin to this. How would the public respond if we all of a sudden came out with a set of Holy Muhammad shoes and started mocking Muhammad with a bunch of tennis shoes we were coming out with? How would that handle? Because I remember when South Park was able to mock anybody and everybody, including Family Guy. I'm not recommending these shows, but I'm telling you, I remember when this happened. Family Guy could mock Christianity, South Park could mock Christianity anytime, anywhere, as blasphemous as they want to get. And then both of those shows did an episode and made fun of the Prophet Muhammad. And it was unbelievable backlash. They actually had to go in and censor the show and put a big black box over Muhammad in the Family Guy episode because Muslims were pitching such a fit all across the country. And I remember that happened. Yet we can come out with a holy water shoe to mock Jesus, and it's all good and great. But then you start seeing what's going on. Now we're actually having up in Michigan, which is like unbelievable nightmare of Muslim invasion up there, and now we're actually having the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether a Christian student can be forced to cite an Islamic conversion prayer in public school. In May 2019, the Thomas More Law Center asked the Supreme Court now to decide how far schools can go to promote Islam while disparaging Christianity. As a Christian and 11th grader at La Plata High School, Catherine Wood was taught that most Muslims' faith was stronger than the average Christian. She was also then required to profess in writing the Islamic conversion creed, which I'm not even going to read. Ms. Wood believed that it is a sin to profess by word or in writing that any other God except the Christian God, Jesus, is basically Lord and Savior. She stood firm in her Christian beliefs and was punished for it. The school refused to request to let her opt out or give her an alternative assignment. She refused to complete her anti-Christian assignment and was consequently received a failing grade. Got an F in the class. For one assignment she refused to do, got a big fat S in the class. And so, of course, she hired an attorney. And this has been going on since May. This has been going on since May now, where the school district is saying, no, you have to recite this prayer. You have to write this prayer down. It is part of your curriculum, and you have to do it. She said, no. Absolutely not, which I'm really, really proud of her. Hardly anybody else is doing this. Most people are just capitulating to it. But understand, this is what's going on in the public school system now. And I've talked before in detail how basically the Thomas More Law Center also, too, has gone into detail of research of the nonprofit groups, the Muslim consultant groups out of Michigan's Novi Community School District, who've gone in now and slowly been indoctrinating the teachers into what they're supposed to teach as far as with Islam and how they're supposed to promote Islam over Christianity, directly telling them that, and how all the Islam, basically, aspects of it and the prayers and the writing and everything have to be followed. And if a child doesn't want to do any Christian search, which they hardly have to do any of that as far as Christian classes or any type of stuff like that, that's fine. But if they do anything and they do not want to follow the course curriculum with the Islam, they basically are suspended or they're given an F in the class. This is a nightmare what's going on up there right now. And this is something that needs to get brought up because we have to stand firm in our faith and we have to be vocal about it, guys. We cannot just sit back and pretend that this isn't happening. I've told you guys the numbers for, I don't have them in front of me right now, but I've told you before, once the Islamic population starts breaking more than 4 to 5% of the population, they start implementing Sharia law, completely and totally demanding it. And right now in the United States, I think we're somewhere up towards like 2% of the United States population, which I think that's actually on the low end. The problem with that is large percentages of that, huge percentage of that, are directed in very small areas like Dearborn, Michigan, and Minnesota, and so forth, and other areas like that. So in some of those areas, areas, like in Dearborn, Michigan, you have full-blown Islamic towns where everything's halal. They have the bells that ring multiple times a day. They go outside and do their prayer mats. If you go in there, like a Christian group did a few years back, to a big like carnival that they were having in there, and they walked in and they had a crucifix and they had their Bibles and they were basically talking about Jesus Christ, they were literally almost beaten to death. They got multiple altercations till finally law enforcement came in and said, "You have to leave the town." And they said, "We're not doing anything but trying to travel peacefully, unmolested on our way. We have a right of freedom of speech. We can walk through here and talk about Jesus Christ." And they said, "Sorry, you guys have to leave now. You basically are inciting a riot." And so they told them, "You're trespassing and you're inciting a riot." They said, "Inciting a riot? There's five of us walking around. There's 500 of these guys circled around us ready to beat us up because we have Bibles in our hand. Doesn't matter. You have to leave now or arresting you for inciting a riot." That happened in Dearborn, Michigan. You watch the video of it. This is what happens when this group of people come together and become incredibly militant. This is what's going on in the school system. This is why things like these shoes are being made. They're doing everything they can to promote the wrong religions and everything they can to basically completely delegitimize Christianity, Dad, and it's something that we cannot allow to keep happening. The very least we can do is be vocal and strong in our stance on it and make sure people know that our voice will be heard and we're not going to back down on this topic.
Well, it's just that we have major Christian leaders that are capitulating to the left. I mean, major Christian leaders. Almost every major TV evangelist has capitulated. Like I've told you guys, I mean, I used to be on Christian TV all the time. I mean, so much it was ridiculous. So much that I'm walking through an airport in Thailand and somebody walks up to me and says to me, "Are you Ted Brower?" I mean, yeah, that's so much. So much that I'm walking through airports in Europe and they walk up to me and say, "Are you Ted Brower? I've seen you on Christian TV." And when I start going political and I start talking about immunizations and vaccines and the circus clown show, which is D.C., oh my gosh, that's the end of it. That one local show that I used to do on a regular basis, that's a national show, they haven't had me on for 18 months. And the guy's a friend of mine. And when I contacted him a few weeks ago and I said, "You know, hey, bud, you know, haven't been on with you for 18 months. You know, what's going on?" Crickets. Not a response. Basically didn't even answer the question. And I thought to myself, well, this is interesting. So I'm going to call him. In fact, I tried to call him earlier today. He was in production. So I'm going to call him later on this afternoon and say, "Hey, you know, what's going on? What have I done? You know, what have I said? Whose feathers have I ruffled?" And here's the thing. It's no longer the Christian network. It's the Zionist network. That's who it is. And the Christians have unwittingly allowed themselves to get sucked into a quandary now, supporting the rebuilding of a third temple and bringing the Antichrist in. And this is why when you talk against this, oh my gosh, I've got a nationally known pastor who was basically called out by another nationally known pastor for being a Zionist and said, "I want you to renounce this Zionism stuff, renounce the rebuilding of the third temple." And the pastor that I know, who's a friend of mine, refused to do it. Refused. Because he speaks in a lot of churches around the country and around the world, and I guess he's afraid that if he does that, I don't know, I'm speculating, I'm not giving you any names, that he won't be invited to come back and speak in these churches. I don't know. And the pastor who won't renounce Zionism is wide awake in every other area of what we talk about in the world order. He's awake and knows exactly what's going on. And I've personally talked to him, and he's told me that's a major problem, and he's going to write a book on it. But he won't renounce it. He won't do anything. So think through how much power these guys have. When we have people having full-blown Jewish weddings on Christian TVs, on Christian networks for hours on end, you're like, "I thought we were Christian. I mean, I thought we weren't Jews. I thought Jews needed to convert to Christianity to get saved, not Christians have to convert to Judaism to get saved." It doesn't make any sense. Like you said with the Muslims, Austin, you know, if you say anything about the Muslim faith or the Muslim religion, oh my gosh, you're going to tore to pieces. Now, let me explain something to you guys very quickly. This is important that I say this. In the vast majority of the countries where the Muslims have a very small percentage of the population, 1% or 2%, they're relatively quiet. They don't say much, and they pretty much get along with everybody else, and they integrate very, very well into the culture. But when you start bringing them in by the millions and giving them their own enclaves like they have up in Minnesota, you know, and other than Detroit, and they become very, very vocal, and they want to impose Sharia law. Now, you think, well, why would they do that? Well, we haven't done that. And a lot of these people who were displaced from the endless wars in the Middle East have been brought into our country and throughout Europe on purpose by Rothschild, using George Soros as a front guy in order to destroy the country as far as from a religious standpoint. I mean, Christianity's already taken two or three hits in the United States. I mean, we're on the ropes. I mean, we're being just sucker punched left and right. I mean, we got the gloves up and we're not even throwing punches. You hear what I'm saying, friends? Remember the rope-a-dope stuff you see with Muhammad Ali, with George Frazier and the rest of them, Thriller in Manila? For all you folks who can remember this, Austin has no idea what I'm talking about. But, I mean, all of these people who watch these old things from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, these fights, I mean, this is what we have right now. The Christians are on the ropes. We're not playing rope-a-dope. We're unwilling to defend ourselves. In fact, we haven't even raised our gloves. We're sitting there taking punches to the face, punches to the face, punches to the body, punches to the torso, kidney punches, punches to the groin, and we're sitting there, hunched over, about to go down for the count of 10, about to lose our country, about to lose our whole religious base that the whole country was founded on, and we're watching it happen, and we won't even defend ourselves. Well, guys, let me say something to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ every day of my life for the rest of my life. I will continue to be a vocal voice for as long as I live in what I believe and what I know to be right. See, here's the problem that we have, and a lot of you young folks have. I have a contrast of what was the United States and what is the United States. You know, I was born back in the 50s. I mean, when I talk about the 50s, I remember the 50s and the 60s. I mean, I remember what happened in the 60s with everybody being shot. I remember where John F. Kennedy was, you know, when he was shot. I remember where I was when he was shot. I remember this, so I have a contrast. I have the ability to look back and see what was once normal and what this is now. And this isn't right, what we have now. The problem with today's children, those born after 2000, born to these people that are progressives, born to these people who want to believe there's a thousand different types of sexes, they really believe this is the new normal, and they think this is correct. They don't have contrasting ink to go back 50 years and say, this isn't right. And that's why I've said this so many times. Once my generation leaves here, my generation, the baby boomers, ones who started from getting born like in 1950 through 1965, once we're gone and people no longer have the contrast that we have, it's going to change everything, because they'll again move us further to the left, more to the left, more to this socialism, more to this communism, until they can take us back to where we thought was evil all the time using 5G. This is the goal of these clowns. And that's why it's so important. The other day, Harrison, my 20-year-old, says, Dad, I don't know what to do. He goes, it's so frustrating. He has the girls up here in Tallahassee at Florida State. Hey, the values are so different than what I have. He says, Christians think they can go out and get drunk every night of the week and then get up and go to church on Sunday morning, and it's okay. They're tolerant of sin. And see, he goes, I feel like I've been born in the wrong generation. And then Lexus said the same thing, my 18, 19-year-old. She says, I really feel like I've been born in the wrong generation. I was born, you know, 50 years, 60 years too late. And it's true in some degrees. I think about me. Let me stop for 1 second. Let me just kind of go back a little bit. Because of quantum entanglement, all right, when your mom is born, let's say my mom was born in 1916, which she was, okay? My egg that was Ted Brower, half of Ted Brower, was in her. All eggs are in the mother at all times. She doesn't create new eggs. When she's born, that's the end of her egg complement. So the eggs that your mother carries that are you, every one of you, okay? You receive every single neurological impulse through the egg. Everything she's ever felt or seen, you feel. Everything goes through there. It's called quantum entanglement. That's why you have such a deep relationship with your mother. In most cases. Now, sometimes we have parents who really do the kids wrong and the kids do the parents wrong, and relationships get shattered. But in most cases, there's a very deep relationship, especially between moms and boys, and, of course, with moms and girls. When my mom was dying in the nursing home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and no one had told me that she was basically being admitted to hospice the next day, and that's another whole story, I was left out of the loop. Probably because I ought to try to do some type of intervention. Basically, I woke up having dreams of my mom as a child. It was the weirdest thing. I was like on a tram, on a train, going through time. It was weird. And mom was dying. Woke me up. I mean, I woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to fly to St. Louis that day for a speaking engagement. And they were playing the Cardinals that day. It was back in 2006 for like the World Series. And I had to, and I told Sharon, I said, man, I'm exhausted. I had the weirdest, worst dream last night about my mom. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. And I said, but we got to fly to St. Louis today. I said, if I hadn't, you know, if I wasn't, you know, had made a commitment doing this, I wouldn't even do it. I just cancel this, but I can't. I've got too many people coming to hear me speak tonight at the church. This was with David. This was with David Crank, a pastor in St. Louis. So we flew, and then I got off the, I was getting off the plane, and I had a nanny. Her name was Nikki, and she was with the kids here at the house. And she called me. My telephone rang as I was walking off the aircraft, and she says, Ted, you need to sit down for a second. I said, okay, what's going on, Nikki? She goes, your mom died this morning at 4 o'clock. And I went, whoa. And I said, yeah. I said, unbelievable. And I, you know, I said, it's just, I should, but she's dead. She's not being admitted to the hospital. She goes, no, she's dead. They've already taken her body. I said, okay. All right. And so then it was a long story made short. It was a very, very weird day for me for the rest of the day. But because of quantum entanglement, I knew something was going on at 4 o'clock in the morning with this dream that I was on with that train tram that was running on those tracks, like reviewing my whole life. And it was like, it was almost like she was going back and looking at her whole life as she was dying. And I saw a glimpse of it. You think, what the heck? Hey, I'm not saying it was normal. It was weird to me, too. All I'm saying is that we're quantumly entangled, especially with our mother. So that means that my DNA goes all the way back to 1916. So you think, wow, that's a long ways back. It is. It is a long ways back. And so I really have this old school mentality. I raised my kids old school. I raised Austin old school. I raised Harrison old school. I raised all of them old school. And now they're going back and they're going, Dad, we're like old school. We, you know, we don't really relate to our friends because you raised us differently. You raised us how to think. You raised us not getting immunizations. You raised us not drinking fluoride. You know, we don't understand why people think the way they think and why they act the way they act. Guys, this is the problem. We're no longer raising kids old school. We're allowing them to do whatever they want to do and to follow their, basically the teachers that are giving them weird, weird information. Like, for instance, here's an article just came out from CNS News. Safari said that Pope Francis told me that Jesus incarnate was a man and not a god. I mean, this story was updated at 2:25 to include a brief statement from the Vatican, which does not deny what Scalfari reported about Pope Francis, only saying it cannot be considered as a faithful account of what was effectively said, but represent more of a personal free interpretation of which Scalfari heard. All right, so now the Pope's denying the doggone deity of Jesus Christ, who was created in the exact image of God Almighty, it says in the book of Hebrews. And the Catholics are supposed to sit here and say, okay, wow, that's cool. This is supposed to be God's emissary on earth. He's supposed to be like the link that we have to God. I mean, we have to like give our confessions to this guy through his, you know, ordained priests throughout the world. So what the heck? Yeah. See, this is the continual gradually chipping away. And by the way, most Catholics can't stand this Pope. Pope, I just thought I'd mention that. Many of them want him to resign. And, you know, and there are, I know many Catholics that are leaving the Catholic Church because of this Pope, because of stupid stuff like this that he says. But then when you have other TV evangelists come out and say that you don't have to accept Jesus Christ in order to be saved, you don't have to do that. There are many ways to the Father, not just one, which is in direct contrast to what the Word of God says. And see, everybody compromises because I don't want to get slammed online. I don't want to get slammed on social media. I don't want to have my credit score drop down, my social credit score drop down because I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. What the heck? What do you think you're doing? Why would you compromise? Why would you compromise an eternal message for a temporary easement of your social credit score? Really? Is that where this is going? Why would you do that? Guys, I know so many preachers. That's why I keep telling you guys. I've been behind the scenes with these clowns. And a bunch of them are circus show clowns. That's all they are. And now, there's a couple good ones. There's some good ones out there. David Crank's a good one. But there's some really good ones out there that really mean what they say and they believe what they say. I had one pastor one time. He got invited out to TBN. And he came back and he told me, and he's a good friend. He goes, Ted, man, this is messing with me. He says, these guys are really screwed up. He says, there's some weird stuff going on. And I said, bud, I said, let me explain something to you. Your faith and your relationship with Jesus Christ is not predicated on what these nutbags do. And he goes, you're right, Ted. Yeah, I got to keep that. I said, you got to focus that, man. I said, I had a pastor years ago just do me wrong, and his son did me wrong, and I was friends with both of them. It was just a big mess. I'm just letting you know, it's a personal experience. And this morning, someone contacted me and said that such and such has taken over the church for his father. And I said, well, you know, I've done everything I can to keep this record, keep reconcile this relationship. I've contacted the guy dozens of times. And I said, but until they're willing to realize what they did and how they did me wrong, and reconcile the relationship, there's really no need for me to go hear this guy preach because I can't be ministered to by him because I know who he is internally and what he does. See, and this is the problem that we run into in the Christian churches. When we see a pastor get compromised, or his children get compromised, or his way of life get compromised, or he runs off with the church secretary, or basically his kids turn into a bunch of hellions running around, they can't be controlled, or whatever, it creates a problem with us, and it creates a disconnect with the Christian church. That's why I say to you guys, your relationship is not with your pastor. Your relationship doesn't matter if your pastor decides he wants to be queer, or he wants to be an adulterer, or his children are brats, or he does you wrong. Your relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is based on your personal confession of faith through Jesus and your acceptance of Christ as your Lord and Savior. It has absolutely nothing to do with where you go to church or who you fellowship with. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," which means that we should be going and meeting with other Christians and talking with other Christians and having fellowship with other Christians. But does that mean we need to be going to an organized church every single week? Not for salvation, you do not. But I tell you what, it's really nice to be around a body of believers who believe the same way you do. And the worship and praise, if it's anointed, is much better in a body of believers. So you say, well, Ted, do you go to church on an ongoing basis? Yes, I go on an ongoing basis, but I don't go on a regular basis anymore. I'll watch it online. I have a prayer service here with Sharon. Sharon and I have church literally every morning. We pray every single morning. And we have friends that are Christians that we deal with, that we commune with on an ongoing basis. But I've been so torched by so many churches, by so many times. But guys, it has not affected my faith. My relationship with Jesus Christ is better than it's ever been in my entire life. I'm more dedicated to Christ. I'm more dedicated to prayer. I'm more dedicated to doing the things that I know the Lord wants me to do now in my life that I've ever done. Why? Because my relationship with Him was based on my relationship with Him, not on other people. Guys, don't ever let somebody stand between you and God. Well, they did me wrong, and they claim to be a Christian, so I want nothing to do with God. What in the world does that have to do with God? You know, I had Zig Ziglar, a dear friend of mine. He's dead now. May he rest in peace. I did 100 seminars with him all over the country. Spoke to over a million people with Zig in large groups. He said one time on one of his CDs, you can still find it online, he goes, if you've got a hypocrite standing between you and God, in other words, you're standing here, hypocrite standing in front of you, God standing behind the hypocrite, he said, that hypocrite at least one step closer to God than you are. I thought when he said that, I thought, he's right. Why am I going to allow the actions of some TV evangelist who's a nutbag, okay, or some local preacher who's basically an adulterer or a gay guy, why am I going to allow these guys to affect my relationship with the Most High God? You can't. And that's so important that you understand that, my friends. And it's something I want to minister with you guys about that today, because when I saw the tennis shoes thing coming out, I thought, wow, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to say something. When I saw Pope Francis now saying that Jesus Christ is not God, he's not basically God in the flesh, basically is not part of the triune Godhead. I mean, when I heard him say that, I'm thinking to myself, all right, that's enough. I'm going to say something about this now. And guys, please listen to me. You and your family need to be praying together out loud on a daily basis. You need to be praying with your kids on a daily basis. If people need prayer, they need to be coming to you and calling you. I've got so many of you, and you know what? You know this is true because you're listening to me right now. I've got so many of you. You've contacted me, and you asked me to pray, and I say, I'm praying right now. And I'll text you back, okay, I've prayed. And I mean, it's immediate. When someone asks you to pray, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in a restaurant. I don't care if you're in the middle of a line at Disney World. I don't care if you're walking down a mountain path on Mount Lacan, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. If you feel led to pray, you need to pray. Now, you don't need to be wailing and screaming and carrying on and flailing around and all that kind of nonsense. You don't need to be doing all that. You don't need to make a spectacle of yourself, okay? But you need to pray. You know, you can quietly bow your head and pray. You can quietly, if somebody asks you to pray for them, grab their hand and pray for them. You can do all that in public. It doesn't make any difference. What's somebody going to think? That you're a committed Christian? All right, that's all right. They're going to think you're a weirdo? Who cares? You know, I mean, you know, remember what the Bible says. It says that this whole gospel is foolishness to the unbeliever because the God of this world has blinded them. So who cares what they think? I mean, who cares if someone doesn't have you back on their show because you talked about Jesus Christ and you didn't compromise? Like I told you, that happened to me a few months back. I don't care. It means nothing to me. I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm going to continue to do what He asks me to do to the best of my ability. And so, but I wanted to share with you guys right now that if you're a Catholic, you need to be protesting what the Pope just said. If you're a Christian and you know that these guys are a bunch of weirdos on TV, don't send them any more money. Support your local church. Find a church that's God-based, that has good worship and praise, and support your local church. That's my advice right now for you guys. And Austin, you know, and Austin knows that I live this and I practice this and I believe this with all of my heart. Does that mean I'm perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have no halo to adjust. But guys, I just try to do the best I possibly can. I love you guys. Austin, what do you think?
That was really well said. I mean, you're absolutely 100% right on everything with all that. Also, to another news, just giving you guys kind of an update of what's going on in California. People are getting pretty irritated already as the first full day of power outages, and as far as in the southern part of California, has now begun. Schools have been canceled. Businesses are shut down. Roadways are completely overwhelmed. Traffic lights are disabled. Dwindling supplies in stores as people have bought everything out. Residents are unbelievably irritated now as more than 2 million people are projected to be in the dark by the end of the week. And again, remember, this is all for their protection. This is all to prevent wildfires, right? And so this is ironic that this is what they're actually conditioning the population to be normal now. And understand, this may be on the front, oh, it's to prevent forest fires like they're Yogi the Bear or something. This is not what it is on the backside. This has so many different aspects to it. Not only is it using it as a beta test, in my opinion, to see what's happening. Not only is it using it because PG&E filed bankruptcy back in April. Not only are they doing this to basically see how the people are going to respond. Not only are they doing this, in my opinion, to soften up California even further. They're also doing this to normalize the aspects of living in a third world country where you have rolling blackouts, which is very normal down in Venezuela, down in Ecuador, down in countries down in South America, rolling brownouts, rolling blackouts. Oh, power just goes out. Oh, we have no power for a day. Power's gone for 2 days. It's just normal. You get used to it. You figure out how to adapt and overcome. This is what they're doing in California. I mean, the school system. My question is this, Dad. These 2 million people that are going to be in the dark, are they going to get a refund on their property taxes because the school systems are completely closed now? Are they going to get a refund on their state income tax because they can't use the roadways and the red lights are out and they can't safely travel on the highway freely, unmolested on their way? I'm curious about that. Are all these guys going to get, you know, a $50, $100, $150, $200, $300, $400, $500,000 refund check at the end of the week when the power comes back on? Because they pay property taxes, they paid state income tax, they paid insanely high sales tax, they've been paying their electric bill. I'm curious. I would really like to know that. 2 million people. Let's see how many people start revolting and saying, hey, I want a refund check. I paid $5,000, $10,000 in property taxes over here last year. I paid another, you know, $20,000, $30,000 in income tax, state income tax. Now I can't even travel on the road. Now I can't even go to the schools that my kids are in. This is something that needs to be addressed. And the problem is most Californians, and I don't say most Californians, but a large portion of California, especially in that San Francisco area, that whole area down there, are incredibly liberal. So they'll just chalk it up to communism, and this is just part of being in a socialist country, and people need to get used to it and adapt to it. It's probably what they're going to say. But I wanted to bring that up because this is something that I'm very curious to watch, to see how they're going to handle this and how well they're going to handle this over there, because this is the warm-up session. They've had a day without power now. This is pretty. You can deal with that pretty easy. Second day, okay, we're going to start getting through today. Third day, now we're going to start getting a little agitated. People are going to start getting irritated. Food's going to start being perishable now. And by the weekend, people are going to be pretty doggone mad. They're going to be downright mad. So it's definitely something that people need to be aware of. Also, too, in other news, this is quite troubling to me. Instagram now is removing any photos of the okay hand sign, as they're saying this is white supremacist hate speech. Facebook's been doing this for a while now. Now Instagram's doing this. This is the okay sign, you know, where your fingers are up and you're doing the okay sign. Here's the problem I have with this. I've never known this to ever be a white supremacist hand symbol. It may be in some little factions. I learned the okay hand sign was adamantly mandatory when you're scuba diving. Why? Because when you're under 100 feet of water and you're running on a tank to stay alive and you have multiple divers with you, if you look at another diver and you give them a thumbs up, that's the hand signal that you have to surface as quickly and as safely as possible because something's malfunctioning. I learned this when I was in scuba diving school. You give a thumbs up, anybody around you, your buddy, your scuba diver, who's your buddy, goes, okay, we can't talk, so we have to have nonverbal hand signatures. You put your thumb up, that means you're malfunctioning. I'm giving you my octopus, which is my secondary regulator. You're running on my tank, and we're going to surface as safely as we can without basically blowing our eardrums out. That's what that means when you give a thumbs up. So you give the okay hand signal. You're down 100 feet, you're about to go into a wreck dive, you look at him, you give an okay hand signal, he gives you an okay hand signal, that means tanks are good, regulators are good, we're going to go into the ship and see what's in this sunken ship. Been there, done that. So this is very troubling to me. Were they going to, when people are put photos of scuba diving photos up now, they put the okay hand symbol, are we going to ban those now? You can't do the okay hand symbol whenever you're underwater in scuba tanks? Where are we stopping the lunacy with this? Because it's ironic that I've seen numerous photos on Facebook and all over online with gang members flashing all kinds of weird, ridiculous hand gang signs, weird stuff they put up. And that's okay half time. They let that up. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's freedom of speech. That's freedom of expression. Now a white individual does the okay hand sign, and that's a white supremacist hand signal now, and it has to be banned on social media. This is the aspect of what we've seen now where they're doing everything they can to demonize anything we do. This is a serious problem that we're starting to see here. Also, too, and other research as well, this is actually a health research. This is pretty cool. Research is now showing that women who take high doses of omega-3 fats while pregnant actually help prevent high blood pressure in their children later in life because it actually helps to strengthen their cardiovascular system. This was published in the JAMA Open Network at the University of Kansas. So, again, another reason why to take good, healthy dosages of omega-3 fats while you're pregnant. Not only is it really good for brain development in the child, it's also really good for cardiovascular support in the child, and apparently it shows in the research study helps prevent them from having high blood pressure in the future. Very difficult research study to actually try to quantitate that, but very, very good information, Dad. So I thought I would bring that up as well.
Well, the omega-3 fats are critical. You have to have them for proper nerve development and brain development. I mean, and B vitamins, B complex, folate. You have to have all of this when you're pregnant. And it's so frustrating to me also when women won't take supplements. I mean, you know, it's frustrating. And it just, and they wonder why their children are born with spinal bifida or have other types of health issues. And you're like, guys, come on, you know, we really need to do something a little different than this if we're going to be figuring out if you're basically going to be, you know, developing a baby in your body, you got to put some healthy nutrients through your body, like with your immune system. You know, yourself, you got to have D3K2 every single day. You need to have B vitamins. You need to have enough folate. You need to have vitamin C every day. You need to have B complex. You need to have vitamin E. And you say, well, I don't need all this if I eat. Well, gosh, if you're eating regular GMO food, you're not getting pretty much any of that, and you wonder why your body's going into deficiency system. It's deficiency syndromes. Dr. Gerson from Gerson Care and Cancer Therapy from like 100 years ago, he had a clinic, and he said the primary cause of leukemia was the vitamin C deficiency. That was his opinion. That's what he believed. And, you know, a lot of research seems to indicate that he may be true, including some of the stuff that Linus Pauling did. And plus, we realize now that vitamin C is essential for the cardiovascular system to maintain its integrity because it produces and maintains the collagen, which is the cellular glue that holds the arteries and everything together in the body. So it's one of those things that we really need to take a look at when we possibly can as far as trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with our body and get the right nutrients. That's why if you guys just get on the Health Masters Healthy program, just the basic program, it's really, really good for you. It's your B vitamins, your C, your D, your E. It's on the website. And when you do that, you support this show. And I get so many comments, Austin. It's wonderful that people say, I love your show. It's the only one we listen to. We get like 4 hours of show and 1 hour of show because there's no commercials. And we love the way you guys put the format of the news together. And I thank you for that. But, guys, it's because of you. It's because of our faithful listeners and our followers who listen to us on a daily basis. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't do this. I'd have to be selling advertising spots to different sponsors to sponsor the show. And you guys have allowed us not to do that. By the way, the Daily Mail, and I posted this on our website, I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I'll give you some statistics. That huge bubbles of methane are causing the sea to boil in Siberia as the ice melts and releases the gas. This is what's being done because of the chemtrails and the geoengineering. this is something that we need to understand, that these guys are doing this. The science team said the methane increases came from the thawing of the permafrost, and I'm going to say because of the chemtrails that has affected certain parts of Siberia as temperatures in the regions have climbed. So in 2017, Russian scientists investigated huge craters in the Arctic regions of Siberia caused by the formation of enormous methane bubbles under the ground. Now, they're saying that the methane is a very, very potent geoengineering greenhouse gas. It said it's 23% more effective in creating global warming than carbon dioxide. I believe it's much higher than that. And it says that human methane emissions are the second largest contributor to global warming after carbon dioxide. I don't believe that. I believe that the massive amount of methane being released from the permafrost is what's causing a huge increase in the temperatures globally and allowing them to have a much more effective type of, how should I say this, weather warfare model that they've established. And I really believe it's going to elevate the temperatures of the planet as it continues to release. And I really believe, and I know this for a fact, that they don't care, the guys that are doing this, because it's part of their 5G network to basically create a plasma in the lower levels of the atmosphere to make the atmosphere more able to carry radio waves and to enslave you and me. Just thought I'd throw that enslave you and me stuff in there as a little closer. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Remember, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And remember something, guys, we are not of this world. We're just passing through. I appreciate you guys. Have a great evening. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you again for the continued support. If you guys need anything, be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com. We have the Turmeric Force 144 count on sale right now. We also have the product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. Really, really popular product on sale right now at one product of the week. This is our chewable version of our Ultimate Multiple. Really good product for kids or adults or anybody alike. I even take them sometimes when the kids have them out, and I'll take Hunter's and he'll get all mad at me. I'll have to give him more. So be sure to check those out on sale right now. If you guys need anything, please be sure to give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Stay stocked up, guys, on everything. You know, I mean, if you got a product that you're taking for a month or two and you like it, make sure you have some backups. Make sure you have some backup food. Make sure you have some buckets or some MREs or some canned foods or anything that you can stay sustained on for an extremely long period of time. I mean, at least, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. That's a good amount of time to have food, because I'm telling you, what's going on in the Midwest right now, the food prices, we're going to see them go through the roof by next year. So again, thank you for the support. Stay prepared. Stay ready. Have an awesome, safe, wonderful night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.